I've got 3 points I want to make today regarding how to appropriate your healing. And I'll just give you those steps. First step is you've got to receive by faith. You've got to do what? Expect that God will do what he promised in his word. That's the very first thing you've got to do. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You've got to know that it's God's will to heal. So the very first step here is that you receive by faith. And then we're going to look at that. And then looking at what does that really mean. So the first step that we look at in order to be healed is the same as as the step that we took towards receiving Christ and salvation. You had to know that it was God's will to heal, to save you, and that it was his will, and that you had someone share the gospel with you. Something was shared. Either you heard it in degrees through your life, and you finally made a choice or a decision. Maybe you heard something on television or radio, or you overheard someone talking and you made a private confession to Christ, or maybe you did it publicly, but you had to know that it was his will. And when you know his will, faith comes. And when faith comes, you reach out and you know it's God's will, so you reach out and you receive. That's no different than healing is concerned. You've got to know that his will, and then you've got to do something. You've got to reach out and do what? Take it, receive it, appropriate it, take possession of it. And that's the first step, right? So faith begins where the will of God is known. This was something that I believe Smith Wigglesworth shared years ago, and then, of course, others have expressed the same point. So it's impossible, you know, faith, another word for faith would be confidence, that you have confidence that it's someone's will to do something. So it's impossible to have faith for something, to claim something by faith, if you didn't know it was their will. How would you have confidence to do that? You wouldn't. You wouldn't know that if there was something that I expressed, if my word's good, then you're confident that I'm going to do that. Or anybody else. You're confident that they're going to carry out or fulfill what they said to you. And it's no different where God's word is concerned. That he said so, he cannot lie. And so basically faith must rest totally upon the will of God alone and not your desires or wishes. Amen. Can't rest on your desires and wishes. I wish God would do this. He's not moved by your wish. He's not moved by your desires. You know, when you think about it, this whole world desires things. People desire things from God. He's not moved by their desires. He's moved by what? Let me see. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto who? God is a what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Okay, that's one scripture. Now, are you at 1 John 5:14? So what does that say? And this is the what? The confidence. So we're talking faith now, right? This is the confidence that who? That we have, or you could say I have, in him, in Christ, that if we what? Ask anything according to your desire. Anything according to your needs. Anything according to your wishes. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, if you ask anything according to what? His will, he heareth us. So now let me ask this question. If that says, if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me, then what would that imply? That if I don't ask anything according to his will, he doesn't hear me. Does that mean? Some of us don't like to think like that. It's like, oh no, God, he got to hear me. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And what does it also say? Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, not whatsoever, it means whatsoever is in his word, we know that we what? We have the petitions that we've desired of him. That's faith. And that's being confident that I asked him something that was in his will, that was part of the atonement purchased by Christ through his shed blood, that if I ask him something that's in the package, you understand what I mean? In the covenant, it's part of the promises of God, then he hears me. Listen to this out of the Barclay translation. It says, the reason why we can approach God with complete confidence is that if we ask for anything that is in accordance with his will, he listens to us. Well, I tell you, that's good. If we know that he listens to us, whenever we ask him for anything, we know that the things for which we have asked him are already ours. Why is it already ours? Because he promised it. And all I'm doing is taking it. I'm just reaching out and saying, Lord, I receive this, and I'm receiving it and taking hold of it by what? By faith. What does it say? When Jesus went into areas, it said when he went about preaching and teaching, he said in some cases where they let the man down through the roof, it said the presence of God, the healing power of God was present to heal, right? But he was the only one that was let down through the roof that was healed. But it was present to heal those that were there. So something is missing, isn't it? They didn't do what? They didn't appropriate. They didn't take it. How'd they have to do it? They have to take it by faith. You know, somebody used this example. I didn't set it up today, but think about a I'll come over here. It may beep a little bit, but let's just walk over here. Let's do this. I'll put you in the dark over here. The electricity is present all the time in this building, right? It's present. But we're sitting in the dark. We're sick. We're hurting. We're in pain. But the presence of God is there to heal. It's there all the time. It's in your presence to heal. But you're hurting. You're not feeling good. You don't have money to pay your bills. But the presence of God is there to heal. And then what do? You come over and take it. How do I take it? By faith. So the presence of God, the power of God is present all the time. All the time. Just like this the electricity is present all the time. And the heat, whew. It'd be hot in here. Need to back those boys down. Please. It's warm in here. But the point I'm making is that the power of God is present all the time. And all one has to do is flip the switch. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be lacking in finances. You don't have to be. You can if you want. You can sit there like the people in Jesus' presence when he said, the healing power is present. They didn't say, just like the man who was the leper and said, Lord, is it your will to heal? And he said, I will. Be thou healed. Be thou clean. So he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So it's the same for us. We have to do what? If we know that it's his will, what does it say? The reason why we can approach God with complete confidence is that when I ask him something, that's his will, that's provided for. Then he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatsoever is promised, then it's mine. And I just have to receive it. Here's the rub, and I'm going to get over into this a little bit, just briefly. We're looking for something instant. That's the problem. We're so, I want this fixed now. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Shall. So the Bible differentiates between gifts of healings and miracles. And there's a difference. And sometimes we're looking for something instantaneous, which is really a miracle. Now, doesn't mean that God doesn't heal instantly. And I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago. He said it. He said it many times. He said the problem is that people miss their healing because they're looking for something instant. They're looking for something soon. And he said in all his years of experience with ministering healing, he said, yeah, God does heal instantly sometimes. But more often than not, it's as they went. They're healed as they go. And you've got to keep your faith activated. You've got to keep, as he put it, Brother Hagin put it, when he was ministering here a number of years ago, he said, you have to keep the switch of faith turned on. And a teacher by the name of Doug Jones elaborated on what that meant. He said, the switch of faith is this. You have to believe that you've received it. How do I believe I've received it? By faith. When you're sick, when you're not feeling well, you believe you've received healing. And it's the next part of keeping the switch of faith turned on is that you do what? Not only just believe that you've received it, but that it's working in you. That this power that I've received in me is working. And as it's working, restoration happens. Healing in your body happens. Healing in your finances. Healing in, you know, I mean, how many, you know, when you take just in the natural, how many people have been healed instantly from medication? How many? I don't think so. If they got something like that, you tell me, because I haven't heard about it. Most times you take it and you got side effects, and they make sure that you hear about it on the news. Take this, and you can't even, they speak so fast, you can't even understand what it is they're saying. But as you take, just in the natural, somebody taking a medicine, your body is restored slowly. Is that not true? So how much more shall we not put our faith and trust in the living word of God that's forever settled in heaven. So we can see, in looking at some things that we discussed in a few other lessons, that removing sickness, you look at Exodus 23, it says, as you serve the Lord, he will do what? Bless your bread and your water and do what? Remove sickness from the midst of you. So even as those things were conditional, and really, you know, under the new covenant, it is still conditional. We're redeemed from the curse, but you can't go on living an unholy life and expect to have the blessings of God poured out upon you. So you can see that provision was made in the old covenant for God to heal his people. And you can see how, as it talks about, and we're not going to go there today, but you can note in Leviticus 14 and 15 that sickness was healed under the law of Moses, and you can see by an atonement that they shed blood, and it did what? It atoned for that when they got out of sorts with God. It atoned for that. And they were healed. And so you can see in Matthew 8:17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities, and he did what? He bore our sicknesses. So if bodily healing was provided for in the atonement, why? Let's look at the brazen serpent. Let's go over to Numbers. And you can see here, bodily healing was provided in the atonement as they did what? As they looked at the brazen serpent, which was a type of Christ. So when you look at Numbers 21, you can see here, the Israelites are complaining again, mumbling about stuff, complaining about Moses, complaining about things. And it said God sent or allowed, this was more permissive, he allowed fiery serpents to come. And it said as they were bitten, they were dying. And so here it said in verse 8, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So you can see here bodily healing was provided for them as they looked at the type of Christ that was lifted up. And you can see in a familiar scripture verse in John 3 and 14, it said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So you can see as we look to Christ, he is our provision. He is our Passover. He's the one that atoned for our sickness and sin. Thank God. So we can see here that this provision is afforded us, but it's got to be received, step one, by faith. You've got to reach out and take that which is provided by faith. You've got to receive it and then believe that it's working in you. The next step is that you've got to make sure that you're right with God. Now, let me just share some scriptures here. You don't need to turn there because I'm going to walk through these quick. When we talk about being right with God, what is the main thing that is the connection with God? It's our heart. It's our spirit, right? So when we say something, when someone's not right with God, we're going to look at the heart. Something has taken place where your heart has created some kind of a disconnect. Let me read these. Psalm 68:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we're talking in the context here of healing. But if you regard iniquity in your heart, he doesn't hear your prayers. You need to get it right. You need to fix it. Let me read some other translations. This is the Message translation. If I have been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of Christians being cozy with evil. And it said the Lord won't listen. The New Living Translation says it another way. It says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if there's sin in your heart, what does that mean? That means you could walk out of love towards somebody. Amen. You can hold iniquity in your heart. You can hold an offense, bitterness. And so those kind of things, if you don't confess it, if you don't release it and ask for forgiveness, you now when you need something, I mean, what did he ask the Israelites to do? He said they needed to repent and ask forgiveness. And then God began to do what? Restore things that they needed to be restored. When they were getting whooped and they're wondering why, he said, you did this, this, and this. And they said, we're sorry. And then what happened? Then they overcame. So we cannot regard iniquity or sin or be cozy with evil. It affects how God hears us. Psalm 84, For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that do what? Walk uprightly. That means you're not holding evil in your heart, iniquity. You're walking what? Uprightly. And he will withhold no good thing from you. This is in the New Living Translation. It says, whose walk is blameless. And the King James, I like the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, for those whose lives are pure. That means righteous. Isn't that what that means? If your life is pure, that means it's righteous. And the scripture tells us that we're to confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to cleanse us of what? All unrighteousness. And there's another scripture that says all unrighteousness is sin. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Amen. All unrighteousness is sin. Amen. So our hearts have to be pure. This is a heart thing. And let me tell you, you know when your heart's not right. Amen. You know it. Amen. Why? Because your heart is the candle of the Lord, and he searcheth it. Here's another scripture, very familiar scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Talking about the heart now. And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Listen to this. Fear the Lord, that means reverence him, and do what? Depart from evil. Don't be cozy with it. That's what that's saying. Don't be cozy with evil. Depart from it. Depart from evil. And what does it say? It shall be health, medicine to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Man, when you're walking right with God, it says it'll be health and medicine to your flesh and marrow to your bones. You won't be walking around with arthritis. I'm telling you, this scripture is here. We weren't redeemed from this. We weren't redeemed from these responsibilities. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. But you still got to keep your heart right. Yeah. You can't be cozy with evil. Yeah. It'll affect the blessings of God being available to you. Proverbs 14:30. Here's another one. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Amen. Talking about a heart. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Talking about medicine here. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God bought you. He paid for your redemption to get you back. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, just to kind of just tie this up with a little bow here, it says, Colossians 2:10, for you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you're complete where? In him. So it's not apart from him, it's in him. Not apart from him, but in him we're what? We are complete. So in Christ, we're complete. That means we're not associating with evil. We're not cozy with it. Why? Because I'm in him. I'm complete. Everything needed is provided for in him. So we enjoy, here's a point, we enjoy the life of the vine, that's healing, by our perfect union with the vine. So we enjoy the life of the vine by and through our perfect union with the vine. That means you got to have a pure heart. That means you can't be walking in unrighteousness. You can't be walking in evil. You can't be cozy with it. Why? Because it'll offend you. If you're in the vine, that just like, ugh, I can't do that. I want no part of it. I don't want to be cozy with it. I don't want to embrace it. And that, when I've got my life in the vine, I'm complete. The life of the vine flows through me and forces out of my body sickness and disease. Because I'm what? I'm in the vine. And we read these scriptures before. Submit yourself, this is James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit means I've submitted my heart. My heart's not embracing things that are not godlike, especially when I submit to God. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Do what? Confess, not harbor. If I hold iniquity in my heart and I don't confess it, see, that's what James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. And pray for one another that she may be healed. Amen. Amen. So here's the last step. Faith. So we talked about faith. Receiving something by faith. You've got to know it's God's will. Two, you've got to have no evil in your heart. Got to have a pure heart, clear conscience. And three, faith without action. That's why we went over here and flipped this switch. Faith, you could have faith, but if you don't act on it, it's dead. You could say, I know God's will. I believe it's God's will to heal me and do nothing. You've got to act. What does that mean? First action is you got to say, I believe it's God's will to heal me, and it's working in me, and do something you couldn't do. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean don't listen to God and follow his instructions. You know, sometimes people do what I call silly things. If they're on medicine, they decide they're going to just throw the medicine in the toilet or throw it in the garbage. And we've been there. We've seen people through this ministry. When Pastor Sarah and Clinton were pastoring, I mean, I knew about it. I wasn't part of the, you know, that process, but I heard about it. There were people that heard them teach on healing and Pastor Clinton teach on healing, and they took their medicine and threw it out, and there were a few that I know of that passed away. Because that's presumption. Now, if God tells you to do it, then you go ahead and do it. But there should be some evidence that if the healing power is working in me and I'm taking a medicine, then something's going to come up and say there's going to be some bad side effects by me taking some medicine, because now all of a sudden my body doesn't need it. Right? But individuals threw their medicine out and they passed away. That's not God. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that kind of action. We're talking about keep doing the things that you're doing. If you're doing things that you're under a doctor's order, you keep doing it. But you keep speaking the word. You receive it and you say, the healing power of God is at work in me right now, affecting a healing and a cure. And it's driving out of my body sickness and disease. And either if somebody laid hands on you or you lay hands on yourself, it says those that lay hands on the sick shall recover. I'm recovering. I'm recovering. Every day you're saying it. All day you're saying it. The word is working in me. It's affecting a healing and a cure in me. So you can see here faith. Here's a point when, on this last point here, there needs to be an action. The action is on our part. Now I'm going to make a point here. God has already moved. It's like, you know, think about this. It's like a board game. Somebody moves, and that board game will sit there until somebody else does what? Moves. God already moved. He already moved. The response is on whose part? If we don't move, no moves. God's already moved. He sent Christ. He atoned for our sicknesses and our salvation. It's our responsibility now to do what? For salvation. It's our, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He moved. Yes. Even when we were yet dead in sin, he sent Christ to die for us. He moved. And then what does it say? You can see this example right in here. It said that whosoever believeth in him, we had to move. We had to receive what he already did. We have to do something. We have to receive. We have to act. So faith isn't just, well, praise God. I believe God's, he provided it. No, you've got to do something. Faith is not just believing. Faith is an action. It says, think about it. It said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world might through him might be saved. He that believeth, they have to do something. We have to do something. He already acted. So faith has got to act on what it believes. It must act on what it believes. So all we need to know is from the word of God, that what? It's promised, and that God has spoken. If he spoke, then all I have to do is have faith in what he said. Because his word is forever settled in heaven. That's the scripture. All throughout, you know, you could go through Psalm 119, listen to a few of the scriptures. That's in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:86, all thy commandments are faithful. Yes. He spoke them. They're faithful. Verse 105, thy word is what? A lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. His word is faithful. If you hear his word, receive it. Embrace it. Receive it unto thyself. So now here's one other question. Another point. Symptoms may linger. Faith, as we know from Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance, this is the King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? Healing. The evidence, what's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I have to release my faith when I'm still sick, when I don't feel well. My faith is the substance of what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to be healed. I'm expecting to be delivered. And my faith in God is the substance of what I don't see. Listen to some of these. The Berkeley translation says, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for and a conviction of unseen realities. So my faith forms this solid ground under which my expectation rests on. What's my faith in? God's word. His word. This is going to get you over, I'm telling you. When it doesn't feel good, when it doesn't look good, his word is what's going to support you. And faith in his word, some things you won't have time to call somebody. You're just going to have to, you've got a conviction. God, you said, and you hear me, and I know you're working in my behalf right now, in Jesus' name. Faith is not a feeling. You can feel 10 miles of bad road. Doesn't matter. My faith in God's word creates this solid ground that I stand on with my expectation. So this, look at the symptoms here when if they linger. Let me just read this, John 4. Jesus saith unto them, go thy way. He's talking about the 10 lepers here, right? And the man believed the word that Jesus... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is a different story. John 4. Let's turn over there. This is a different... This is... That was Luke. I was got out of sort there. John 4. This is a certain nobleman. So this is the second miracle that Jesus performed. So he'd already performed the first miracle, which was at the wedding feast of Canaan. So he comes back into Galilee. And so this nobleman comes up to him and says, you know, my son's at the point of death. And what happened? And Jesus said some things. But look at verse 50. Jesus saith, and he saith unto the nobleman, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. He did what? He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he did what? He went his way. He believed the word that Jesus spoke. Just like us. And as he was going, as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them of the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. If Jesus said it, and it's in his word, I'm to do what? Believe it and receive it And it's doing what? It's working in me. Believe the word that Jesus said. Glory to God. Believe the word that he said. And then, of course, we know Luke 17. This is about the 10 lepers. We're talking about if symptoms persist, right? Luke 17, we're talking about the 10 lepers. But you can see, starting in verse 14, it says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." So symptoms may linger, but you receive the word and you keep the faith activated by doing what? You receive it and you do what? You speak words of faith. Faith is the conviction that what I believe God in his word, that what? That's faith is the substance of something that I'm expecting to come to pass. So I'm believing what? His word. Hallelujah. And one last point. Mark 11, 24. When you pray, believe that what? You receive. So Mark 11, 24. Jesus tells us right here in Mark 11, 24, how to appropriate or how to receive any of the blessings of God purchased through the atonement. Mark 11. Because he said in verse 22, what did he say? Mark 11, 22. He said, have faith in God. Verse 23 is talking about saying faith with saying, and verse 24 is praying. So verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, what? When you pray, not after you pray, but when you pray, believe that you do what? You receive them, and you shall have them. Who's speaking here? This is Jesus speaking. So we're to believe to receive when we pray, not after we pray, but when you're sick. You believe you receive something when you're sick in your body. You believe you receive it. And it says, you shall be. You shall be healed. This is the whole point here, that we got to operate in faith. So you can see here these three steps. Number one, you've got to have faith. You've got to know it's the will of God. You've not just know it, you've got to be convinced of it. You've got to be convinced that it's God's will for us to be healed. And that conviction comes from knowing not just what's in his word, but in his word, it shares all of what's been paid for through the atonement. And we look at what was provided for in the Old Covenant, that healing was provided, we can see the provisions in the New Covenant. And then also keeping your heart right with God, that you don't regard iniquity in your heart. Keep your heart pure. Keep it clean and clear. Because it said it'll affect how God listens. And then this third part here is that you've got to act upon your faith. You got to act on it. And if things linger, then you've got to keep that faith activated. Does everybody get these points?
Yes.
These are key in this. And that's, you know, again, we're talking about healing, but this pertains to any of the blessings of God that are provided. Any of them. So we shouldn't be coming up short. And here's the thing. You know, I've learned just things that I've, you know, you step in some holes and you go, oh, I shouldn't have stepped in that hole. So after a while, when you see a hole coming, you don't walk in the hole, do you? You get smart enough, you say, I'm not going to try to jump over it. I'm going to go up another street. And so when it comes to healing, we shouldn't wait until we have an issue in our body to start searching through the scriptures to see what God has to say. We should be keeping that active in our heart. We should be keeping our heart right. We should be feeding upon the word of God and getting this seed of the word down in our hearts, watering it so that it builds a mighty fortress, and we're walking in what? Divine health. Not just, you know, victory every time a circumstance comes up, but we're walking in divine health. We're walking in divine prosperity. We're walking in peace. You know, this is not just, and walking in the love of God. You know, not just healing. You know, you say, well, I got healing and prosperity down, but you're like a brass tingling walking out of love. So there's areas in our life that we can work on, and we're just focusing on healing. But the point here is that these principles work in all those areas. You've got to believe the word. What does that say? You've got to walk in love when you don't want to. That's what that scripture means. You've got to believe to receive the word of God when you don't feel good. See, that's easy because you want this hurt to leave. You want this pain to leave. You want this malady to leave. So you're not cozy with it. You want it out of your body because you don't feel right. So you're fervent about that. But then somebody steps on your toes and you're not as fervent about that. You want to get even. You want to say something. You want to post something on Facebook 29 times and share it 50 times so everybody sees it. See, you're cozy with that. But then when it comes to something that is hurting or it affects our bank account, we're a little quicker to embrace God's word and not be cozy with it. Am I right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So the healing power of God is here and present because his word is here. He's here and his word is present. All one has to do is do what? Receive it. Believe to receive it. And then do what? Believe that it's active and working in your body. It's present to heal. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that as we partake of these elements today, let us be reminded that we're doing in remembrance of your broken body and your shed blood. And Father, this day, let us be mindful of our hearts and the condition of our hearts, and that we do not regard or hold on to anything, but we submit ourselves to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.